reading of City View. I'm Barb Martin. City View is an alternative monthly published in Des Moines, and this will be a reading of the third episode from April issue of City View 2024. Our first article today is entitled, Prom is Big Business. And this is written by Colson Thayer. Now, it says that the prom season is here, and the annual tradition for high school juniors and seniors promises to bring more glitz and glamour each year. For many young people, this may be their most photographed event since birth. Vying from the attention of parents and students are local businesses promising to help prom-goers show up in style. And there are plenty of opportunities to do so, from the dress to the tux to the flowers and the ride. Prom ends up costing some pretty pennies. But many local businesses that cater to prom consider their products or services an investment into one of the most memorable nights of one's life. After all, prom is only a once, well, or twice in a lifetime event. First of all, the dress. We always hear at the checkout counter, "My wedding dress costs less than that," says Cassidy Marks, owner of Stacy's Bridal, Prom, and Formal Wear at 11161 Plum Drive in Urbandale. Perhaps it's an exaggeration. Perhaps not. According to Marks, their average prom dress costs $500, with their whole selection in the range of $250 to $800. Despite the price tag, Stacy's continues to see success for two main reasons. Quote, there are really big prom shops in Chicago, Kansas City, Omaha, and they come here because they want a different experience and they want to wear something unique that not everybody else is wearing, Mark said. Each August, Mark's places an order for about 1,500 unique prom dresses. Her selections include all of the latest trends like feathers, fringes, sequins, capes, or more. And combined with their leftovers from last season, the shop carries close to 2,000 dresses. Shoppers begin making their rounds in December. Prom-goers better hope that they have found something by March because Stacy's has already sold 1,000. And in the summer, Marks is already picking out the styles for next season, starting the cycle all over again. Marks prides herself on the variety of her inventory. She carries sizes 000 to 30, which she says is rare for formal wear stores. She said that Stacy's has enough of a voice to drop some lines and designers who do not have inclusive sizes. When they offer more, she is more willing to purchase from them again. I think it's important for everybody to look and feel beautiful at least once in their lives, she said. So one thing that really separates us apart is that you don't just get stuck in the back corner because of your size. You are in with everybody else. They're all together, and you don't just have one dress to pick from. Another aspect of the experience at Stacy's is their consultants. For logistical reasons, the store cannot have each shopper, their friend, and a parent walking through the aisle. Instead, every 3 or 4 dressing rooms has a designated consultant who is their personal shopper. Mark said that they are highly trained to listen to customers' needs. Mark's primarily hires young girls who can relate to prom goers. These seasonal employees earn commissions based on the quality of dresses sold, not the dollar amount. There is also an option to tip consultants at checkout. Mark said that she sees numerous $50, $75, and $100 tips. When they get to the register, we just constantly get the most positive feedback without even asking for it, says Mark. Emma was so wonderful today. She knew exactly what looked perfect. Or Sally gave us her phone number, and the girls are going to about their med school. But of course, the industry does not come without its challenges, most notably online competition. The last thing you want is to be used as a try-on store, said Marks. Use my stuff, my time, my building, and damage my dresses for you to turn around and buy it somewhere else. Marks described it as a catch-22. The customers will complain about prices rising in stores, but they do not want to see the stores close either. And oftentimes, foreign retailers will steal designers' images to turn around and sell a cheaper product online. Our consumerism in general really needs to look hard in the mirror and determine our priorities, Mark said. Are we going to pay for American goods, or are we going to continue outsourcing? Then we come to the tux. The offering of men's apparel at Stacy's has undergone a major change. Rather than continue renting tuxes, they have opted to sell them instead. And at the tail end of an already busy prom season, it was tricky to get hundreds of boys in the store to try everything on the week of prom. Plus, if something did not fit, it would be difficult to get a replacement. Getting the tuxes back in decent condition was another challenge. It was really bothering me that these boys and their families and parents had to throw away over $200 to rent a tux or suit for a few hours, said Marks. So Marks decided that it was time to add menswear to her line in 2024. While still early on, she has found that customers can often buy suits and tuxes for the same, if not cheaper, prices. After finding the perfect outfit, the next step might be to book a ride to the dance. NPI Limo Service, based out of Urban, offers a black suit and red carpet service for prom goers. The company has a fleet of 9 vehicles that can accommodate groups of almost any size. They rent out their vehicles for a minimum of 3 hours with an option to increase by 30-minute increments. Pricing is not standardized as it depends on the location of the event, gas usage, and length of use. A majority of the runs, we pick them up, and we usually take them to dinner, and then we drop them off at the dance, says Brady Johnson, owner of NPI Limo Service. The kids usually have their vehicles there at the dance to get themselves home. Some parents don't want that. They rent through the whole evening, which is great for us. The company charges a $100 deposit to reserve the vehicle, and the rest of the balance is due after the event. Oftentimes, groups split the costs among themselves and pay cash to the driver on the day of. During the month of April, the company is almost entirely booked. With proms going on each Saturday, Johnson recommended that groups reserve a vehicle at least 30 days in advance. For each ride, at least one 18-year-old must be in the vehicle. Otherwise, there is no restriction on riders. From prom groups, there is a strict zero-tolerance policy for alcohol. A partition is typically between the driver and riders. However, during prom rides, the partition is down. If alcohol is found, the ride is immediately suspended. The rides do cost a lot of money, and the parents are usually responsible for the kids. And we've had nothing but great outcomes from prom, said Johnson. We have very respectful kids that do decide to get in our vehicles. Then there are the flowers. About a week before the dance is the best time to order corsage and boutonnieres. Bozens, the florist in Beaverdale or on Ingersoll, offers a wide variety of options to perfectly match the color of a girl's dress. About 25% of the corsage and boutonniere orders are placed online. The rest are typically an even split between moms and boys placing an order in store. If the guys are the ones coming in, I'm pretty much the one that is deciding what color. Oh, in other words, the person selling decides the color. Says Jane Albee, Bozen, the florist's wedding consultant at their Ingersoll location, 3801 Ingersoll. There's a big difference if the mom will handle it. They will think that they're the one that is going to the prom. The typical price for a corsage is $35, but it can increase depending on the number of flowers, its size, and the add-ons like ribbon. Most of the time, whoever is ordering the corsage will also order the boutonnieres, so they match. If a girl were to go to another shop, they might have slight differences. Only 1% of prom orders are requested to be delivered because most want to see the final product in person. Plus, if there are any issues, the staff can fix it in store. For each Saturday in April, Bozen typically sells one corsages and almost the same number of boutonnieres. This number remains about the same year to year. Records from previous years help them predict how to order inventory. Albie suggests orders are picked up on the day of the event. However, they can last in the refrigerator for a month. Prom is not just a night to remember. It supports a sector of the economy that continues to thrive and grow. Since annual prom traditions do not change much year to year, businesses can easily predict the needs. Word of mouth and social media also play key roles, as prom's best moments are often talked about and posted. A prom business's best marketing and advertising are students telling each other about how great their night was or how good they look, recommending a local shop for next year. While the trends of each dance continue to change, one thing remains clear. The business of prom will do its best to stay on trend, create one of life's most memorable. And now for our feature story, Out of the Park. The Iowa Cubs organization has one of the best baseball farm systems in the league and is positioned to reach new heights in 2024. And this is written by Coyote Williams. Friday night fireworks, bobblehead nights, Bebop's burger races, the family-friendly fountain right field. Win or lose, the Iowa Cubs continue to attract fans with as much entertainment as the biggest brand names in baseball across the entire country. Yes, the Iowa Cubs are a big draw in central Iowa. One of the reasons is history, as few teams have been associated with the same major league program for as long as the I-Cubs have with the Chicago Cubs. Another reason is that the team wins. The I-Cubs narrowly missed out on the AAA MILB playoffs in the 2023 season. The talent in the highly touted farm system that the Cubs organization has been building up over the last few years is packed with incredible prospects. But maybe most noticeably and important, I-Cub fans simply fun at the ballpark. City View readers certainly love the team, which is apparent by their votes to name the I-Cubs as the best local sports team and best local outdoor sporting event in the 2024 Best of Des Moines Awards. With all these positives, heading into the 24 season, fans are eager to learn what the I-Cubs will have to offer this summer. The Iowa Cubs assistant general manager, Randy Weoffer, sat down with us to share what fans can look forward to in 2024. First of all, last season, looking back at the 23 season, the Iowa Cubs posted an impressive 82-65 record in the International League West Division, which was just 1.5 games behind the first place St. Paul Saints. This was a huge improvement from the 2022 season when the I-Cubs went 68-81. The I-Cubs had four players hit more than 20 home runs last season: Jonathan Perlaza, Matt Mervis, Jake Slaughter, and Jared Young. These four were also the team's top four leaders in RBIs. Outside of Jared Young, who is now part of the St. Louis Cardinals, the Cubs will be bringing back Perlaza and Mervis and Slaughter, which is great news for the offensive production. The Iowa Cubs also received great production out of their bullpen in 2023. Caleb Killian led the team in wins last season, going 8-3. Those eight wins were tied for ninth across all AAA in 23, and just behind him in wins were Cam Sanders and Bailey Horn with seven, and Ben Brown with six. While these numbers may not jump off the page, Killian, Horn, and Brown did an excellent job of putting K's on the board. Brown's 100 strikeouts were tied for 15th across AAA. Sanders' 1997 tied for 20th, and Killian's 97 tied for 20th, and Killian's 95 tied for 24th. And just like the batting leaders, there will only be one player missing out of their top producers, with Bailey Horn now part of the Chicago White Sox. Sanders, Brown, and Killian will all return for the Cubs in 2024. Now, the Chicago Cubs farm system is loaded with talent. According to MLB.com, the Cubbies are home to seven of the top 100 prospects in baseball right now. Outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong, right-handed pitcher Cade Horton, outfielder Owen Casey, infielder Michael Bush, and shortstop and second baseman Matt Shaw, and outfielder Kevin Alcantara, and second baseman James Trinatos. The MLB ranks the Cubs as having the second best farm system overall heading into the 24 season. That means the potential to see some of baseball's brightest talent in Des Moines is as high as it has been since the years leading up to the Chicago Cubs World Series championship team in 2016. Who might we see in Des Moines this year? Well, since Cody Bellinger is back, Pete Crow Armstrong doesn't have a really good opportunity to be an everyday player in Chicago. Now, he was here for a short stint last year and learned some things about himself in the major leagues that he can continue to work on in spring training. So I think that he's the guy that would seem like, at least the way the roster is constructed. Now, Crow Armstrong only played 34 games with the iCubs last season, but his impact was evident. Crow Armstrong is ranked as the 15th best prospect in baseball and batted in 6 home runs and 22 RBIs with a .271 batting average in his stint in Des Moines. I think Jordan Wicks is in a similar kind of situation, the Weehoffer said. He was here last year and got a taste down the stretch, but they've added some more veteran pitchers going into the start of the season. He's going to be in the big leagues at some, and so will Pete. It's just whether or not they stay here. Weeks made 7 starts for the iCubs last season, collecting 3 wins and posting no losses and finishing with a 3.82 ERA. Weehoffer also mentioned Alexander Canario as a player to watch. Canario hit 8 home runs and 35 RBIs with a .275 batting average while with the iCubs. When it comes to promotions, the iCubs keep things simple and classy. They don't need to go over the top like some minor league teams do. That is a testament to the fandom here in Des Moines and what the team has built over the years. We were actually the top viewed team for minutes watched on the streams through MLB TV and MILB TV last year. And the AA team, Tennessee Smokies, was 5th, and the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, AAA teams, were the ones in between, Weehoffer said. Being able to top the list among 2 of the biggest brand names is not very professional baseball, but American sports in general is not something that many Midwest teams can boast about. We don't push the employee here the way some other minor league teams do, Weehoffer said. I have a lot of respect for the teams that take on a little bit more of the zany side of minor league baseball, but the teams that do that typically are operating in markets where they need to fight for that awareness. While a minor league team in Brooklyn might need to do something out of the box to grab attention, that's not as much of a focus here in Des Moines. We have such a great history and tradition here as the AAA affiliate of the Cubs since 1982, Weehoffer said. It will be over 50 years, and you know, we try to operate as the major league team of the state of Iowa. That we don't try to be creative, but it's never been our mindset to have shock value be our top priority. And now Lunch With by Jim Duncan, and his lunch is with Jake Christensen at the Original Thai Flavor. developers. Jay Christensen is a developer who has reported many of East Village's 19th and early 20th century buildings. He has repurposed them, including E300 Zombie Burger. That was a ground-up construction on a vacant lot with one of the largest residential geothermal systems ever in Iowa. We asked him to lunch, and he selected the original Thai flavors at East 14th and University. I love this place, he said, speaking for both of us. Now the Taste of Thailand, head man Nurak or Pak Prasong, has moved on to his third term in Thailand Senate. This Eastside Thai Flavors and Ah Dong are the local OGs of Siam's esteemed cuisine. Over dishes that used a tamarind and lime juice for sour flavors, palm sugar for sweetness, and oysters or fish sauce, but never salt for saltiness, we talked about the city that we both call home, and Christensen's role in its revival and design. First, this is not the Jake Christensen who quarterbacked the Hawkeyes in 2006-08. This JC is a cyclone. Well, I majored in figuring out what I wanted to do with my life, and I started there in engineering and switched to finance. Well, what, besides historic preservation tax credits, attracted him to restoration projects? Well, I grew up on a farm near Riceville, and we fixed everything that was broken. I just always felt that it was wasteful to throw things away or tear them down. I also think that old buildings are aesthetically more pleasing and that it's environmentally responsible to preserve them. I have had to tear down a couple of places, but I always prefer saving them. Well, were there any local inspirations in this? Kirk Blunk and John Bergeson got it all going in East Village and Court Avenue, respectively. Lisa Gerhardt and Jody Beaver's great work on the Arlington Halter and Ashire Apartment were eye-openers. I am a big fan of Jim County. Christensen currently has two eye-opening projects of his own going on. First, he's doing a much talked about makeover of the former Howard Johnson's Hojo Motel and restaurant between Grand and Ingersoll Avenue. That is just a part of a much larger development. Well, Jake says, I want to tie in everything between Nadia's French Bakery on Grand and Firehouse Panka Pancheros on Ingersoll, all the way to the Ingersoll Starbucks. We are rebuilding the retaining wall east of the connection between the two avenues. It will include a staircase that opens access to the Molo Motor Lodge for pedestrians and cyclists. Whoa. Well, how much will the Molo recall the Hojo? Well, when we scraped off the old paint, we discovered the original bright orange tiles on the gatehouse building. The shapes of the roofs are iconic and must be preserved. And we will illuminate the gatehouse roof with four original poles. Our signage comes right out of the glory days of Route 66 and mid-century Las Vegas. Well, I'll tell you, I cleaned the Hojo swimming pool when I was a youngster. Will it be restored? Well, it was so deeply buried that it turned out to be too much. We are building a new pool with a bar, and it will be the first outdoor hotel or motel pool in Iowa that is heated to stay open all year. I'm a skier, and that's not uncommon in ski resorts. I think it's new in Iowa. Will the Office Depot Dollar General store building stay the same? Well, I'm hoping to turn it into a single business. It was once a Hy-Vee and originally a hinky-dinky. We could also house three or two businesses there. Howard Johnson's was the largest restaurant chain in America in the 1960s. Now they are all gone. I went there with my parents when it first opened to try their homemade ice cream and their fried clams. Well, I want to incorporate that kind of nostalgia in the project. Well, much has happened on Ingersoll since you started your plans there. I love Ingersoll. I live nearby and consider it my neighborhood. Think about its diversity, from the Greenwood Lounge to Oak Park, Harbinger, Chocolatier Stoms, the Cheese Bar, Lachelet's, Jesse's Embers, are all within a few blocks. The Register said that Lucky Lotus should be a top 100 USA restaurant. Big Grove, Dizo, Noah's. Oh, I could go on and on. Well, a friend of rents his place in the neighborhood as an Airbnb. He says that people from Minneapolis particularly come and spend whole weekends on Ingersoll. Well, I've already heard from people who want to plan staycations when the Molo opens. Well, how big will the restaurant and motel be? We're planning on 100 seats in the restaurant, which will be in the former medical offices at $25,000-$15,000. The motel will have 81 rooms. A gatehouse bar will seat 50 to 60. We have the original plans and want to recall them. We'll refabricate and illuminate the gatehouse spire blue, and we plan on having great amenities to encourage staycations and Ingersoll tourists. Christensen Developer is a co-developer on the project. My wife, Susan Fitzsimmons, is leading it along with the founder co-developer Marcus Ash. Project 6 and 7 is equally exciting. Markhaus named it that to recall the glory era of Center Street when it was the Black Wall Street of Iowa. The place will be an incubator for minority entrepreneurs. We are working with Evelyn Davis Center for Working Families to give people the tools to open businesses. Nadia was our first. She's the baker. The easiest way to understand the building is as a riff on both strip malls and food courts. We want to recruit three underrepresented food beverage operators or restaurants that need to expand. They will share a kitchen, but have separate kiosks to retail their food. There will also be two anchor tenants on the ends of the build. We are developing self space for other kinds of retail business there too, and we will accommodate food trucks and caterers. The second floor will have 6 live work studios. That's relatively new to Des Moines. Senator Hatch put one on Grand, but there is a need for more. Well, roofs stand out in some of Christensen's projects. Yes, the Quonset Hut roof was revealed when we got into the attic of 317 East Court Avenue. We could feel it then, but it had been buried from the outside. Peachtree Brewery is there now. There's a good story about how visionary people in Des Moines, Jeff Bruning of Full Court Press, has the Iowa Tap Room in his building at 213 East 3rd Street. He suggested that we recruit Peachtree Brewing from Knoxville. Most places fear competitors. To Jeff, more is more. I thought the basement space in 213 East 3rd Street had too low of a ceiling for anything but storage, but Jeff saw it as a speakeasy. Well, what are Christensen's favorite restaurants? I love the pastries at Nadia's. La Familia, Oak Park, Harbinger, Thai Flavors, Jesse's Embers, Aposto, Noah's. This is a great restaurant town. Well, that does it for this episode of City View. We've been reading from April 2024 issue. Thanks for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Print Handicap. If you have any questions about this or any IRIS program, give us a call, 515-243-6833. And thanks for listening.